I want to welcome everyone, those who are coming for the first time. I want to thank God for your lives, all our fathers and mothers in the house. The Lord bless you, all the ministers of God, prophets of God in the house. God bless you all. Joshua chapter 2. I want to continue the message we started last week. Faith that God honors, part 2. Joshua chapter 2, I read verse 8 to 13. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord had given you land, the land, and that your terror is falling upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when we came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard, or we had heard, these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Father, breathe upon your word. Enlighten our darkness this morning. Holy Spirit of God, bring this word alive in us. In Jesus' name. This was what Rahab said to the two spies that came to spy out the land. I can't repeat everything we said last week concerning Rahab. You can listen to that for free on our website. Just download the app on your phone. Go to the app store, whether Android or iOS, and download the app. And you can listen to it for free. Rahab was a harlot. She was in whoredom. Only God knows how many men she has slept with. But then all the customers that came to her brothel, they speak about the great things that the God of Israel was doing. And she was listening. When Rahab now had the opportunity to side with God, God always presents us with that opportunity. We are always presented with a choice, either to follow God or to turn away from God. But Rahab, unbeknown to her, while she was protecting these two spies, contrary to the safety of herself, her family, she was committing a felony. But unbeknown to her, she was making a life-transforming decision. And that's always what happens when we turn to follow God. I remember many, many years back, one of my mentors, a man that tremendously helped me in my Christian walk, said, You never know what a man will become when God lays his hand on such a man. Rahab displayed faith, even though she didn't know she was displaying faith. Her faith had not been internalized at this point. She set herself above the fear of men. You see, when you are one with God, then you set yourself above whatever any man can say about you, whatever any man can plan to do against you. We see a person in Rahab who, though not within the commonwealth of Israel, exemplified a higher level of commitment to faith. She said, "We have heard. I know that God has given you the land. I know from all that we have heard 40 years back, remember? I know. Many of us know God. Like Brother James said, if a man says he has faith, that is, he believes in God, he has said right, but you will prove it by what you do." So Rahab, holding on to the ways of God, proved herself. Brother James says, even the devils too believe that there is God. So not everybody that says, "I believe in God," is a child of God. Not everybody that says, "I believe in God," is a child of faith. I remember when I was in a particular church, we always read this faith act or decree. And I know most of us, we did it. "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And this and that and that." After that, you go to the beer parlor. You get drunk. Some go to Harlot Rahab's parlor. Thank you. You know? And think, okay. And we also deceive ourselves in the sense that, oh, if somebody, the pastor says, "You are not receiving communion again, you have been denied heaven." That's a lie from the pit of hell. Except you don't have Jesus Christ in your life. That's the only reason why you will miss heaven. Praise the Lord. That preaching is not for today. Amen. She knew, like we read in the open heavens this morning, she knew that divine judgment was already upon her people. She knew, unlike Jonathan, she made the right choice. Jonathan knew that God had given the throne of Saul to David, but he still refused to follow David. He decided to follow his father. Guess what? He died with his father. And David, that God had given the throne, took the throne. And he was a close friend to David. You can be so close to church. You can be so close hearing the word. But if you don't allow the word to mature in you, to drive your action, you are not different. You are not different. She knew divine judgment is coming upon this nation. This big nation with big, humongous walls that seems impenetrable. But then she knew that this wall cannot stop God. The God that opened up the Red Sea. What kind of wall can we construct that can stop that God? She knew divine judgment was upon a people who had no regard for God. And look at the kind of person that God will nudge our heart. The Bible didn't say that Rahab lived in the city. She lived on the outcast of the city. People who go to her don't want people to know that they went there. Isn't that true? People who go to different places they are not supposed to go, they go travel far so that they don't want anybody to see them there. God will catch you that somebody you don't know will now find you. I say, bro, you too, you come. Praise the Lord. I told you the story of a young man. This was in England at a restaurant. I was with a couple of my friends. They call their bishops, big shops. Me, I was a warehouse. We're having lunch. And this guy, he sat down, got his food, and they brought him alcohol, Guinness, you know. So he was drinking and eating. Then his phone rang. He picked up the phone and said, oh, I don't know what the other person was saying. Oh, okay, I'll meet you in church. I'm eating right now. I'll meet you in church very soon. I tapped my friends. I said, look at this guy. I said, I'm going to show him today. So I got up. I said, hey, bro. So this is what you do. You come here, you eat, you drink stout. This one, he said, no, it's not a small one. It's just a small one. Eh? After you finish small one, you take another small one. And then you now go to church. Maybe that person is even in the choir. Huh? And now go and lift up holy hands. What kind of hand? Huh? And say, Lord, I bless you. God will just smell alcohol. The Bible says, give alcohol to the one that is ready to perish. Hallelujah. She knew that these people that I call my people, this nation that I love so much, is about to perish. What did Jesus say? Rahab believed before she saw. Jesus said in John 20, verse 29, he said to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet they have believed. We know that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Like I said to the workers this morning, Rahab will rather fail with God than win with her people. If she had won with her people, she would continue in that lifestyle. And in this age and time, all kinds of diseases. Huh? I remember at the beginning of the year, one of the prophecies of our general overseer, he said a new STD is going to show up. How many of us remember? Right? Not more than a week after that, we just started hearing about Zika. And now people say, oh, it's because of mosquito alone. I read not too long, a few days ago, that it's sexually transmitted. If you don't know how to zip up, you'll be Zika'd. Praise the Lord. Amen. You see, the truth of the matter is, when we truly connect with God, then you will know that nothing and no one else is as important as God. Nothing, nobody else. You've heard me talk about culture, 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 culture. You can't be a Christian and still be connected to the culture where you were born. I'm telling you the truth. Because Jesus came to introduce heaven's culture. So if your culture is in opposition to heaven's culture, it's an evil culture. can't be married to culture and say you are married to... No. God is too jealous. Rahab was going to turn her back to what she was used to. And that's one of the major problems of human beings. We don't like to leave a familiar zone. Things we are used to. People we are used to. And that's the attitude of little children. Your child who has never left home before, the first day in school, daycare, they will call you like 4 times. For my daughter, they said, come and take her. Not up to 1 hour. I got there, carried her. She said, I don't like that place. I said, I agree with you. I want to go home. I want my mommy. I said, that's fine. That's little kids. When we step away from our comfort zone, suddenly it's like something is missing in our lives. And that comfort zone might not be the right thing. A woman who is the third wife of one Alaji suddenly gets born again. Okay, leave Alaji. Who's going to take care of me? I'm not serious. Rahab could have said, all these customers and all the money. She had the house. She had the house. Not everybody has a hotel. Rahab had a hotel. So she must be making money. But she was not looking at that. Paul said, I count all but what? Loss. For the sake of who? Of Christ. If genuinely you are born again, there is nothing you cannot leave for Christ. I told us the story. This message, I'll finish this one today. A young girl back in the northern Nigeria. This true story. True. A Muslim from Muslim background. She accepted Jesus at a crusade that her friends took her to. Her families found out. They told her, denied her Jesus. She said, no. They called family meeting. You know, in the Muslim world, they have this honor killing and what have you. They beat this girl to pulp. They beat her. Tore all her clothes naked and kicked her out of the house. She walked the street stark naked, weeping, going to her friend that took her to crusade. You took me to crusade. I'm coming to your house. She knocked on the door. Her friend opened the door, saw her friend naked, beaten, weeping. Put her inside. What? She went to the gate. There were some people sitting at the gate. Sister, did you see somebody? They said, yes. You mean the woman wearing white? The one that was wearing white passed this place. A faith that I'm ready to suffer for Jesus. Instead of people to ridicule her, God cover her with glory. From her house to her friend's house, so nobody saw her nakedness. God will cover your nakedness. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There are relationships and things that you know that these people, this my friend, this even family members, Abraham knew that this lot, he won't allow me to actualize God's plan for my life. Lot, come. I think it's about time. Go your way. I go my way. Any angle you choose, fine. I'll go the opposite way. But some of our sentiments has made it so difficult for us. And that will be to our peril. God forbid. Amen? There are some relationships. There are some things. You know, this thing, this person will not allow me to make heaven. Let them go. This nation, I have to turn my back on these ones. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3, wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. What is a weight in your life? Who is a weight in your life? What is that thing holding you down, pressing you down? Bible says, lay them aside. There are several ways to lay them aside. Today is not the preaching for that, so that I won't take your time. Rahab risked a life. Soldiers came and said, we learned there were two people here. I told you that last week. She lied. And justly so. Number one, she wasn't even born again. Although she was exemplifying faith, but she hadn't developed the character of a child of God. It's not that God cannot protect those spies in any other way. You understand what I'm saying? God has several ways to do whatever. But like I said last week, those who are ready to perish, they are qualified for deception. Praise the Lord. Those who are ready to perish, they are qualified for deception. You know, she risked her. I mean, this is what true commitment is. Risking your life. Those who were arrested or stolen by ISIS, and they saw how they are leading their brothers and said, deny Jesus. If not, they shot them in the head. I watched a video like that. And these guys were like, sorry, when denying Jesus? Maybe if they were Nigerians, I've said, you know, Nigerians, we think we are smarter than. I'm not saying everybody here is Nigerian. We are smarter than God. Deny Christ later in the corner. Say, Lord, but you say if I sin and I confess my sin, you'll forgive. Sorry, forgive. You know, I wasn't ready. It doesn't work like that. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, there was no second chance there. I'll deny you before my Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah. And I told us also, these spies, they were at the mercy of Rahab. They were at her mercy. But she knew that she was at their mercy. I can call police for you now. But she knew that whether I call police for them or not, we're all going. You know, she decided to take care of them and stick with the winning side. She cast her lot with God. Lord, I will follow you all my life, no matter what. You see, these words we keep on saying, the truth of it will come and Satan will challenge you with it. So that you can make a choice. Every day we decide. After you leave church today, you are going to decide whether you are going to follow Jesus or not. You are going to decide by your actions, by your character, by the words you say in your mouth. The act of Rahab's mercy laid a foundation for our own future. A foundation she would have never imagined. The Bible says in Matthew 5 verse 7, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Let me read another story for you. In Jeremiah 39, verse 16 to 18. Jeremiah 39. Because you can't be a Christian, oh Lord, and not have a heart of compassion. You can't. can't, you can't, you can't. And God sees it. Jeremiah 39, 16 to 18. Go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for adversity and not for good. And they shall perform in that day before you. They shall be performed in that day before you. But I will deliver you in that day. Why? And you shall not be given into the hands of the men whom you are afraid. For I will surely deliver you. And you shall not fall by the sword. But your life shall be as a price to you. Why? Because. Everybody please read that for me. Because what? Because you have put your trust. This man showed mercy. For God's sake. And God said, I'm going to show you mercy too. Amen. Brethren, when you faithfully serve God and sacrifice for him and sacrifice for his kingdom, God will not only protect you, he will show you favor. Amen. He will do more for you, more than you can ask, more than you can think. You see, let's say doctor is God and I'm doing things for him. It may not be for the moment that I'm doing it. A time will come where, as natural human beings, you know, suddenly we find ourselves in a fix. And you're wondering that, how am I going to get out of this? And God will remember your offering. And he will suddenly make a way. It will seem as if that thing never happened at all. Has anybody been there before? Oh, I know I'm the only one who has found myself here. There. I'm going to be like, God, if this alarm blow, we are done. No? And God, one way or the other, he will just show up. God will show up for you. I say, God will show up for you. She now, Rahab gave instructions to these spies, how they're going to escape. Amen? They, in turn, gave her instructions how she will be saved. They said, we are coming back. And they even swore to her. I'm about to show you something very interesting. Something about God, very interesting. They swore to her that if anything happens to you that we don't say, let the blood will be on their head. But they told her, they said, tie a scarlet cord by your house. And everybody inside your house will be saved. We will deliver you. But make sure you don't spread this news abroad. Now don't go to the village or the city and tell everybody, tie a scarlet thread. They say, we'll be done with you. We'll kill all of you. And Rahab will not be stupid to do that anyway. Because even before the men come to kill her, our own king too will kill her. That you abhorred this fugitive. You understand what I'm saying? So she wouldn't have done that. Look at. Let me read the scripture first. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 to 4. Deuteronomy 7, 1 to 4. I hope you're following me. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. That goes first and foremost, watch out who you marry. Amen. So God said, you know what? When you begin to possess the land, don't marry their children. Don't marry their women. Don't save any, kill everybody. No mercy. But this law was set aside when it came to Rahab. I wish this was a Bible study that we can interact. How come? Because Rahab showed mercy that absolved her from the later end of that passage that they would turn you around. Rahab was ready to turn around. She wasn't ready to turn anybody around. She was like, Ruth, I will follow you wherever you go. Because she begged them from the scripture we read. Don't forget me, save me, my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters. Save us all. She showed them mercy. Let me tell you, for the sake of God, when you do right to the people of God, to those of the household of faith, God himself, even if anything has been written against you, he will put it aside. I say he will put it aside. Hallelujah. The scarlet cord was a type of the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. They said, just put the scarlet cord. As long as Rahab and all the people she held there were under the scarlet cord, they will be saved. Like in the time of Noah, as long as they were in the ark, they will be saved. Now the question is, after you have come under the scarlet cord, after you have come under the blood of Jesus Christ, what again is the relationship between light and darkness? Hello? In almost 30 years in church as a minister, church members are afraid of one another more than they are afraid of sinners outside. You agree with me? Church members are more suspicious of one another more than they are suspicious of sinners outside. And guess what? Rightly so. The church is still a hospital. Hello? There are several sick people in church who are still a work in progress. They have stinking character, and the word is the only thing that can wash it away. So if that person has stinking character, you have stinking character, everybody has stinking character, everybody will just be stinking. How can I be suspicious? You are my assistant, right? The day I become suspicious of you, that day our relationship has ended. No matter how we pretend. And how can I be suspicious of the one that I hold dear? Or I'll be, let me even move away from you and come to my wife and say, I'm suspicious of this woman. You know that marriage has ended. Huh? The moment trust disappears, we have no relationship. We are just going to be lying to one another. You know? You start checking under there, under here, watching this. That's rubbish. We want to make the same heaven. If we are not careful, those in that category will not make heaven. None of them will make heaven. Because if there is hatred in you against your brother, against your sister, you are not making heaven. The Bible says such is not going to enter into the kingdom. That's the challenge there for us. You can't have bitterness in your heart and be thinking, oh, thank God we are going with Jesus. You are going nowhere. Because the Bible says narrow is the path. Even bitterness can't squeeze and enter. It can't squeeze and enter. I've met people who have maligned me, who have spoken negativity against me. When I still see them on the street, I still smile. How are you, sir? How are you? God bless you. God forbid, I won't carry anything against you in my heart. If you are the one carrying it, keep on carrying it. I have no space. No space. There's no room. There's no room for that. Heaven is too important, folks. What relationship has children of light and Belial? Huh? Can you imagine me coming to you and say, my best friend is a Muslim? Huh? You know that there's a problem. There's a problem. Oh, my best friend is an unbeliever. My hero is an unbeliever. Huh? Even, you know, on the computer, they will ask you some questions. Who is your childhood best friend? My own is Jesus. That's what I read. I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. Anybody want to hack it, go hack Jesus. Hallelujah. This woman had no husband. No husband. Who will marry a harlot? Huh? Who will marry a harlot? But that day when Jericho fell, and Rahab and her family, under the cord, under the blood, were delivered. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. All things have become new. She came into the camp of Israel. They put her outside the camp for a time. So as to wash her clean, she went through all the purification. You know, like you want to join a church too, you go, especially if you're not a believer, you go through believer's class, you understand me, worker's class and all that, so that we can remove the thing you are bringing and give you the one we are using here. You understand, Brian? They say, if from where you are coming from, you used to tie it here, and the one you are used to bath, so that we can use the word of God to remove them and make you fresh. And make you that instead of that one you tie, we give you Psalm 25. You put Psalm 25 there, you put Psalm 23 there. You know, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Truly speaking, if you have been saved, then you must keep close to the place where those under the blood gather. Those under the blood. That's where you should be. Amen. So that you will not be caught in the destruction, in the pending destruction. That's where you need to gather. Where do you gather? Who do you gather with? This morning, in a workers meeting, we talked about temptation. Presented with a choice or choices. Make the right choice. As soon as you step into Christ, begin to, one by one, check all your associations. All your associations. All your associations. I don't care who is not my friend. As long as the friends I have, we're all facing the same direction. Amen? As long as we can have a central subject, and that is Jesus. That's all that matters. Huh? I'd rather choose television than choose some friends. Because number one, I can choose what to hear. I can choose what to watch, right? Some friends, the moment you are with them, you can't choose what to hear. They start running their mouth like River Jordan. The things you want to hear, you don't want to hear, you will hear. The one you don't want to hear. I was very happy yesterday. The one of my daughters that did the toast. He said, if you have alcohol, put it under your table. I said, go ahead. People always think that, oh, Pastor Carl is antisocial. I am not. I am not, but I'm just careful where I am. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm careful. The moment I begin to see things I don't need to see so that I won't go home and be pleading the blood, oh Lord, blood of Jesus, Father, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus, so that I won't close my eyes and still be seeing what I know. So I would rather leave. The Bible says flee temptation. And that's what I do. Some people wonder, oh, you never eat out. I can't. It's not out of hatred. Even apart from being a believer, I wasn't raised like that. My mother would look at you, not say anything, just the eye. If they burn you well, touch that for both. Oh my days. Amen. And sometimes people don't even know what I like. You understand what I'm saying? They bring all this food and think, oh, yeah, Pastor will. You don't know what I like. And I can't tell you. Praise God. Amen. Whew. Don't betray Jesus again. Don't betray Jesus by the association that you keep. Hallelujah. The moment Rahab followed and they took her with them, her past had no more reckoning. The only reason why we are reading Rahab the harlot is because it's a testimony. Amen? And that's why I like the fact that there are some names that still has very good meaning in, let's say, in Islamic, you understand what I'm saying? Let's take Akim. It will give you a testimony. I used to be, but I'm a believer. You understand what I'm trying to say? Oh, blind Bartimaeus. We have to read that story that he was blind, but he's no longer blind. Oh, Rahab the harlot. He used to be a harlot, but he's no longer a harlot. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter the nomenclature people give you before. What matters most is who you are now. Hallelujah. She had no husband. She became the wife of a man called Salmon. Out of all the women in Israel, Salmon couldn't marry any but Rahab. See how God works. Out of all who can be the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus Christ, he has to be a former harlot. Huh? So you that you are perfect, watch out. God is going to bypass you and look for the imperfect. Amen? The one who doesn't feel adequate. Huh? God doesn't use anybody by qualification. He uses them by availability. Yes. The Bible says in Matthew 1, verse 5 and 6, Salmon, brother Salmon, begat Boaz by Rahab. Rahab was the mother of Boaz. Is it Booz they wrote there? My own say Boaz. Not the mother of Booz. My King James version say Boaz. That must be a typo. That one is a typo, not Booz. It's not Booz. It's not the mother of Booz. No, she left Booz in Jericho. Hallelujah. She left Booz. Actually, it's Booz that they wrote. I think it's a typo. It's not salmon fish, please. Amen. Salmon begat Boaz by Rahab. Boaz became the father of Obed. Now, they say like father, like son. Boaz, Salmon married Rahab the harlot. Boaz married Ruth the Moabitess. All out of the commonwealth of Israel. Gentile proselytes, as you may want to call them. Obed became the father of Jesse. Jesse became the father of David. And from the lineage of David, we have our Savior and our Lord, Jesus Christ. Where is our keyboardist? Choir, join me. As I want to end my preaching. In Rahab's mind, she didn't look back like the wife of Lot when Jericho was being destroyed totally. They destroyed it. And as they were moving forward, going deeper into Canaan, I could hear Rahab singing. Huh? Do you know the song she sang? Who knows the song? If you are in the spirit. Do you know the song? Ah, my God. These people are not in the spirit. Huh? Rahab started singing. Singing into a definite glorious future. She was seeing something. She was now seeing a future rather than the ugly past. Do you know the song she was singing? I'm going to stay here for the next 2 hours until we figure it out. She was dancing. Jehovah, you are so good. You are so good. Jehovah, you are so good. You are so good. Jehovah, you are so good. You are so good. If God gave you a new beginning, if God erased your past, if God brought honor into your life, won't you dance and sing that song? If you see something great in your future, eh? Jehovah, you are so good.
You are so good.
Jehovah, you are so good.